We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You know, I'm excited to bring part two of the series that we've started this past week called The Trust Fall. Last week, we began a series, and this series, it's about this acknowledging the times that we're living in. It's an uncertain time, and we need a series for uncertain times. And so as we get into the Word, I want to talk to you, first of all, where this came from. You know, I don't know about you, but things certainly feel like they're falling. The world around us looks very different than it did a couple weeks ago. And what I know is that this falling feeling, although it's natural when things start to get shaky, can I remind you, our God is not shaken. Even though things get shaky, our God hasn't been shaken. And so as I was thinking about this, I talked a little bit about a dream I had where I felt like I was falling. And I don't know if you've ever had a dream where you literally wake up shaking because you have that free fall feeling. And in life, I felt like, man, there are a lot of people feeling that free fall feeling. And I thought about it, God, we can't always control the times. We can't control what happens, but we can control what we do in the times, what we do in our storms. And so today, we're going to go into part two of the Trust Fall. I began paralleling this Trust Fall series with exactly that, the Trust Fall. I don't know if you've ever seen a Trust Fall, but they do these in a lot of camps. They do these in a lot of team-building exercises. And as I said last week, I'd normally bring a whole bunch of people up here, but there, first of all, aren't a whole bunch of people in here. But second of all, you know, social distancing doesn't allow us to even catch each other. Don't try and play this game because nobody's catching you today. Okay, but anyway, other than God, right? But look at this picture here. It shows us what a trust fall is. When you are understanding that you're giving all trust over to someone else and you just lean back and you just trust their hands are going to catch you. Last week, we talked a little bit about why we can't just trust people, and I talked about the epic fails of the trust fall that you can Google and find, where people were supposed to be paying attention. And in these times, I'm reminded that our God is not caught in, he's not caught off guard. He's not surprised. And so, even though we don't necessarily want to always be in a trust fall, we'd rather be on secure, solid ground. How many are thankful that God actually says that he will take us and put us, our feet on a rock, a solid place? But I got to trust him to do that. And sometimes there's the shaky moments. The hardest part, though, of the trust fall is trusting the hands that are going to catch you. That lean back moment where you just let it go. You're just believing and trusting. And we know our God's hands, they're trustworthy. But I was thinking, with everything going on, what about the times where you never gave up the control? You never chose to lean back. Instead, it felt like the carpet was being pulled out from underneath you. It felt like a trap door just dropped, and here you are in free fall, and you didn't sign up for this. You're not excited about this. This was not something you wanted to learn from, but yet here you are falling. Because I think that's really where we are. No one signed up for this. No one expected this. No one was saying, hey, I really want to learn something new. Let's just start falling. That's not what happened. But even though we didn't consent to this, here we are. That's what's important to remember. Here we are. And so, like I said, much like my dream and all I was doing when I finally shook myself awake from the fall, I was thankful that it was just a dream. So much like that relief, it's hard to have that relief when you wake yourself up and realize you're still awake and actually you're not sleeping and that this is the new reality. This is the new norm. I can't just simply say, oh, it was a dream. This is now life. So how do we go from there? What do we do? You know, I know we all want to wake up from this dream, but this is going to be the current situation for a little while now. We don't have the ability to put an end date on this. We would like to. I would like to get back to normal soon. I'm sure you would. And I'll tell you right now, although people claim introverts are loving this, I think they're getting sick of it too. Because the introverts aren't having their free time. They're actually being stuck with a bunch of people who are needy. And so it's not even the paradise they imagined in their mind. Whereas the extroverts, we're already climbing the walls after day two. But this free fall, this feeling in the pit of my stomach, how do we know that we're going to be okay? If you didn't hear part one, I'd really encourage you to go back and check out part one, because it talks about how we have to be able to trust the hands that are catching us. And it talks about how our God is trustworthy, how we can trust his hands. But today I want to take a little bit of a shift, and I want to talk about this thought. How do we stay faithful in free fall? How do we stay faithful in free fall? Because I think people that they love God, they don't want to be shaken, but they are shaken. They're trying very hard to stir their faith in a shaken moment. How do we stay faithful when we don't feel it? I want to just give you a few things today. Hopefully this will be something for you to hold on to. Hopefully it'll be something for you to think through. Hopefully it'll be something that you can apply today in your life. But number one, the first thing, if we're going to be stay faithful in the free fall, we have to overcome fear by building our faith. We have to overcome fear by building our faith. And there's so many good scriptures that in these moments, can I tell you, just finding a quote from somebody to encourage you is not enough. Just finding some inspirational story for the day is not enough. I need God's word to talk to me. I need him to speak to me. Today, I need reassurance from God, not from the news. I need reassurance today from God, not from just someone I follow on Instagram. I need some reassurance from his word that things are going to be okay. And I want to talk to you real quick about Hebrews 11. It says this. Now, faith. We're talking about faith and having to build faith over fear. And it says, now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. What am I saying? If we're going to have faith, then we're going to believe for that thing we don't see right now. When I'm having faith, knowing that God is working in the background, and even though I don't know how my bills are going to get paid this week, or you don't know how you're going to see the healing you need, or you don't know how the cure is going to come, but we stir our faith to say, God, you're good, you're in control, and you're handling this even though I don't see it right now. I will choose to see it in my mind's eye, knowing that you're a good God, regardless of what I'm feeling right now in free fall. That's what faith is. Faith is telling your spirit man or your spirit woman to stand up. Stand up. I know right now I feel like I've been brought to my knees. I know some people out there, they feel like they just lost their job that they just got. They feel like they just had all this stuff pulled out from under them. And I've got to tell you, either God is good or God is good. There's no either. God is good. It's just how I'm going to look at it. Either I'm going to trust God with everything, or God is still going to be God, but I'm not going to be able to live in peace right now. Are you getting this? I've got to tell my spirit man to stand up when I feel like I'm at my knees. In free fall, if we're going to overcome, if we're going to stay faithful during this free fall moment, then we have to build our faith. Look what it also says in Romans 10. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want to build our faith, then we've got to listen to the word of God. If we're going to build our faith, then we've got to remind ourselves what God's word says over what others are saying. I'm getting ahead of myself, and we're going to get there in a little bit, a little deeper on that moment. But if I'm not hearing God's word, I'm not building my faith. If I'm not reminding myself of Jesus's goodness and his grace and his mercy and the gospel, then I'm not building my faith. I'm so challenged by the amount of time we spend streaming news to listen to bad news over the good news that Jesus has already overcome the world, and we have a reason to stir our faith and to build our faith, but we've got to be in God's word to build the faith. We've got to be in God's word. Build your faith by hearing the word of God. Maybe you need to, cut out a news one of the news feeds you're listening to and get onto a podcast. Maybe you need to stop talking to that person who is only talking negative about the situation and start getting into a new devotional. You've got to start tipping the scales that allow God's voice to get louder in your world so that your fear will be silenced. Not because you're just not looking anymore, but because you're building up the spirit man or woman inside you to say, even when I do look at it, I will not fear. Come on, church. 2 Timothy tells us, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I'm gonna give you a minute to reread that scripture. Are you good? Because look at, right now when I look around the world, I see a lot of people in fear. And I'm not saying that it's not justified from natural eyes, but what I'm saying is when I decide to put on my spiritual lenses, I'm reminded that God doesn't give me a spirit of fear. And so what I feel, what I'm experiencing, what I'm hearing, what I'm thinking, I've got to put that through the filter of faith to say, is this of God or is this of man? In the world that is just stricken with fear, I've got to remind myself that if I am feeling overcome by that, not that I don't feel it and have to control it, we have to decide what we're going to allow inside. If it's there, we've got to decide whether we're going to allow it to remain there. That's the idea of taking captive those thoughts and those words and that in your mind. I've got to decide whether I'm going to let it remain there. But if God hasn't given me a spirit of fear and I'm feeling fear, then I've got to go back and say, God, I need your power. I need your love. I need self-control to be able to control this very thing I'm feeling. Because you have the ability to overcome it by renewing your mind, as it says in Romans. I can overcome this. Yes, tell yourself, I can overcome this. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is in me, yeah? Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If you're part of our email list, then you would have already received some encouragement this week from this scripture and what it's been speaking to me. I send out some of those things just to help us renew our mind. God, I can be strong and courageous because you're my strength. My courage is in you. So regardless of how I feel, I will choose to be who you say I am. I am who you say I am, right? The second thing, if we're going to continue to be faithful while in free fall, number two, we have to trust God's word over the noise. We have to trust God's word over the noise. Proverbs tells me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Straight your paths is what he will do. But listen, as I was reading through this, I thought I could preach only on the scripture the rest of the day. Because of a few things in here. When I look at this and I say, man, a lot of people are trying to gain understanding to lean on it. They're trying to understand more and more about how the virus works. Not that we shouldn't have wisdom, people. We're looking for wisdom. But if the reason we're trying to have understanding is to feel better, then we're missing it. Because what we're really doing is setting ourselves up so that we can lean on our own understanding. What I'm saying is gain understanding so that you know how to pray. So that you know how to accurately pray the prayer that you need to be able to not only overcome what's going on in the world, but to be effective. And so don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How well am I trusting God through all of this? How well am I trusting God through all this? And I bring this up because how I'm acknowledging God tells how well I'm trusting God. If I'm struggling with my trust, then I'm not acknowledging who he is in this moment. If I'm sinking, as Peter was sinking in the water, as we talked about last week, instead of walking on the waters, because he was no longer acknowledging who Jesus was and what God was trying to do in the moment, he was acknowledging what the water can do and what could happen if things go bad. Can I tell you, stop looking at your feet. Stop looking down. Stop fixating on the problem and instead lean into God's word. How well am I acknowledging God in all my ways? My ways, how I am, how I act, what I think, what I fear, they acknowledge how well I am trusting. They're the revealer. They indicate if I'm trusting in God. We have to choose to trust. Look what it says in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. Say good. Tell the person on the couch next to you, good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So I love how the Passion Translation says it. Look at the same exact scripture. Look at how it starts here. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. Bringing what? Tell that couch potato next to you, good. Bringing good into our lives. This doesn't feel good. I don't feel good. The world doesn't look good, but God is going to bring about good for those who believe. You know, I was thinking a lot about this because when times, can I just tell you, for people that say things like this have never happened before, it's because they are illiterate to history. The Bible says nothing is new under the sun. Yes, we have never had social media to see it with such open eyes, but it has certainly happened. When I read God's word, I see things hit the land and change everything. I see this happen time and time again. Go back in your own history books. Open them. Read them. This has happened. But yet we're still here. And thank God, because we live now, we can be encouraged like this together. But I'm telling you, stop saying this has never happened. Yes, we may have never seen it in our lifetime because we've only lived a short time, but nothing is new under the sun. Calm yourself. God, peace. Be still. God, still my crazy voice. You know, you thought it was hard to live with some of the people in your house. Now that you've been stuck in this life, how hard is it to live with your own inner voice? You can't control everyone in your house, but you can control the way you think. Peace. Tell yourself, peace. Calm down. This too shall pass. It's going to pass. But here's the thing. Are we going to miss something that's an opportunity in the middle of the storm? We have an opportunity that has come. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. But again, number two, if you're going to stay faithful in free fall, trust God's word over the noise. Number three, defeat anxiety with proximity. I love how James puts it in chapter four. It says, move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. All right, I got to be honest. I've doubted recently. Not doubting Thomas, doubting Chad, but it's happened. I've had moments just like you have. Stop it. Stop looking at me like that. We've all had moments where we doubt, is this going to end? Is this, we struggle. But can I tell you, if I will choose to draw closer to God, I know that he promises to draw nearer to me. And we can overcome the anxiety, the stress, the doubt. We can overcome that by our proximity to God. But again, that becomes our choice, whether we're going to do it. It's so much easier just to allow Netflix to play the next episode. Are you still watching? Why are you judging? That was Netflix, not now. But here's the thing. We can defeat our anxiety by proximity. Look what it says in John 15. It says, if you remain in me and my words, they remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I've thought about this scripture 100 million times because how many people have prayed and not seen it happen? And I go, God, you said I could do anything would happen if I prayed to you. This is real talk right now. We've struggled. We haven't seen everything happen. And so there are two things that come to my mind. I think of the half-court shot in basketball when the buzzer's about to hit. How often does that shot ever go in? Now, somebody, when the buzzer's about to hit and they happen to be right under the rim and they can just do a layup, how many know it's a little easier? Proximity is a big deal. And he says, remain in me. Another word that he uses in another translation is abide. Abide in me. And I got to be honest, just like everyone else, we're not always abiding very well. We're not always remaining very well. What we're trying to do is when the stress hits, we're trying to take that half-court shot, that Hail Mary pass. And we don't know, God, why didn't you show up? And he's like, where have you been? Remain. If you were with me right now, you wouldn't be in this stress moment where you're freaking out because proximity gets rid of anxiety. Remain in me. I'm bringing the scripture up because if you're remaining in somebody, you're not doing it from a distance. It's really hard to have this continual, like, everything's going to be okay from 6 feet. Everything's going to be okay. Social distancing to extroverts and socials have really messed us up. I'm a lovey, huggy person, and I was jokingly blaming on my mother, but that's a good thing, right? But it's been very difficult to know that everything's okay when you can't hug the person who's crying. It's hard when you're isolated in your house and you're struggling because you can't have a house call. You can't have somebody come over and pray with you. You can't have somebody show up because you're trying to do your best to do what the government has mandated. But can I tell you this? If I would just remain and abide in God, if I would feel the closeness that comes with a real relationship, I think what's happened most, the thing that's been most obvious in the midst of this struggle and this season and this storm that we're living with is people are realizing that their relationship with God is more surface than they think. They realize that it has been propped up so much by the word they get on a Sunday morning and by the feeling they get with the community on the Sunday, rather than by the word that they open in their own time and by the prayer life they have in their own time and the worship that they're giving in their own time. They need to learn to abide better. Because proximity to God will fix the anxiety problem. Are you getting anything out of this? To abide takes time. It doesn't rush, instead it rests. In a rushy culture, it's hard to abide well. In an instant culture, it's hard to remain. Can I just tell you this? I'm challenged in my own prayer life and how long, a lot of people, they've got different giftings and I pray, but I don't see myself as this amazing prayer warrior that goes into the room and prays for 2.5 hours and doesn't leave until something happens. I pray and I believe and I stir faith and I know God listens, but I always remind myself, I know you want to leave right now because the flesh is telling you to get up and be productive, but is there anything more productive than what you're doing right now? The Bible says, sit and wait on the Lord. We're not a good waiting generation. But I think God's showing us through these things, you're gonna wait whether you like it or not. So why don't we be productive with the time we have? Why don't we draw nearer to God rather than complaining to God about this world? I've always told you that when one of my kids stubs their toes or gets hurt, I hate it. I don't want them to feel the pain, but I certainly don't mind the cuddles and the ask for help. And in these moments, I believe God doesn't want us in this situation, but he'll certainly appreciate us drawing close and remaining and learning better how to abide in a really bad waiting generation, learning how to wait on the Lord. Are you getting this? Abiding is far deeper than a surface level at home. The days we are living in have revealed in many the fact that they have just this surface level relationship. And look, the struggles people that we're dealing with, they're real. But so is the God who tells us to cast his cares upon him. In 1 Peter, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your cares on him. You know, if I had something very heavy on my shoulders, if I had something, I was just bearing this crazy amount of weight on my shoulders, and I knew God said, cast your cares on me because his burden is light, his yoke is easy. If I would just learn to cast my cares to him, I could actually live in peace rather than holding all of this, dealing with all of this baggage and these concerns and these struggles. But something I've learned here is that if I'm gonna cast something heavy, I've gotta be close. I don't know if you've ever watched any of these strongman competitions where they're holding these humongous, medicine balls. I mean, we're talking hundreds of pounds. They've got this tremendous weight, and they've got to put it up on they've got to do this deadlift to pick up the weight, and then they've got to go and put it up on a ledge. I don't see them with heavy things just throwing these things on the ledge. The heavier your concern, the closer you have to be to cast it. I don't think you heard this. The heavier your burden, the closer you have to be able to cast your care on God. We're trying to do these tosses with things that have literally been holding us down for years, thinking we can just lob it out there. All we're doing is just dropping it back on the ground. We've got to be able to bring it to the source. We've got to be able to bring it to the source of our strength and truly cast our cares on him. Can I tell you this? God doesn't offer curbside pickup. He doesn't offer a contactless ministry. He's not just offering something that, oh yeah, you know, I know you got struggles, leave it out on the curb, I'll deal with that tonight when you're asleep or when you're Netflixing or whenever you're doing. That's not how relationship works. He wants you to cast his cares, your cares on him. But the ones you really need to cast, it's going to have to be a very close proximity to be able to do it. Tell everyone on the couch, that's good. We've got to defeat our anxiety with our proximity. I'm going to give you one more point, and then I'm just going to have to carry on the rest next week because I'm not going to get through this message. Number four, allow worship to become your stabilizer. You know, my oldest brother, he likes to jump out of planes. There's no punchline. That's not a joke. He's got problems. He's jumped out 49 times, and I keep telling him, don't try for 50. Just don't do it. But it took him a long time to be able to jump on his own without someone else attached, because you had to learn in free fall how to stabilize yourself. When you jump out of a plane, you can't just pull the chute. You've got to learn how to control your body and stabilize yourself so that you can be ready for the impact of the chute opening. And I think about it, if we're going to stay faithful in free fall, we're going to have to learn how to stabilize our minds, our spirits. Look, I'm not saying we're in control to be able to do everything, because I don't know if you realize we're in midair without a parachute. We can't have a backup plan that's going to just fix everything. But what I do know is that when my posture gets out of alignment, worship always stabilizes me. When I get into God's presence, it stabilizes me. Let worship be your weapon. Too many don't know how to worship unless they have a band leading them. Too many don't know how to take spiritual authority over their circumstances. Let worship be a weapon. Let it be something that stabilizes you. Let now be the time you lean and learn to have great worship time with God on your own. It's never been about a concert. It's always been about your heart connecting with heaven. Putting my attention and my focus, my mind's eye, looking upward, having a heart that says, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm ready. God, I love you. And I don't know any other way to say it, but I'm here in your presence, waiting on you, worshiping you, giving you the worth. I'll never be able to tell you how worthy you are, but I'm going to try. I'm going to continue to worship you in my heart and in my mind. When you feel like you're spinning out of control, you need the stabilizer of worship. Psalms tells us this: shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say when you feel glad. It says worship him with gladness. Sometimes you have to tell yourself, our God is good, and I'm going to worship him with gladness. It goes on to say, come before him singing with joy. It didn't say you had to harmonize, but it says you're going to sing. Sometimes you've got to tell yourself, I'm going to sing in this storm. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Man, I don't know how to worship, Pastor Chad. I don't know how to do this. I'm so used to people encouraging me and leading me and singing and giving me the words to say. Look at what the scripture says here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. God, I'm going to worship you by just telling you how much I'm thankful that you're here, that I know you, that you've called my name, that you hear me. I'm going to give you praise because you know what? I don't even know all the things you've saved me from, but I know you have. I know the fact that I'm here right now, listening to this right now, in your presence right now, you have saved me from so much, and I'm going to praise you for that. You need to get better at praising him for the unmentionables or the things you don't have words for. Learn to praise him for the things that you don't know, because he has saved you from more than you know. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Man, his love never fails us. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues from generation to generation. In this one chapter of six verses, we're taught, five verses, we're taught how to worship God, and we're given content that could keep us worshiping for a very long time. I'm not gonna wait until the next live stream to worship my God. I'm gonna close the door. I'm gonna get into a quiet place, in a quiet space, and I'm gonna start to thank God. I'm gonna start to direct my heart's attention heaven-bound. I'm gonna do it upward. My mind's eye is going to be saying, God, I wanna see your face. I'm going to learn in this hard time how to worship God. I'm gonna allow myself to come out of this, because this too will pass. I'm gonna allow myself to come out of this stronger in a relationship with my God. I'm going to move from some of the surface things to having depth, because I have no choice now but to learn to wait on the Lord, to remain in him, to abide in him. And I'm going to shift from eating the milk to eating the meat. I'm going to shift. I'm going to grow up. There are generations that have gone before us that were forced to grow up by war. Generations that were forced to grow up by one disaster or another. And this, it's an invisible enemy that we're facing, but it's forcing many people, many spiritual believers, to grow up. And if we come out the other side having grown up, then I would say it was a crisis that wasn't wasted. It was a storm that made us stronger. How you choose to look at this is vitally important. I love this quote. It says, when I worship, I would rather my heart be without words than my words be without hearts. Let's choose to worship our God. Let's choose to draw close to him. When we draw near to God, let it be with a heart ready to worship him. I'm telling you, you can worship through the storms of your life and be better on the other side. We didn't want the storm. We didn't invite the storm. In fact, it feels like the trap door opened and here we are falling. But we can stay faithful in the free fall. Can I pray with you? There's so many people out there, they're tuning in, and maybe they've never been to church. Maybe this is just the interface in which they're having the opportunity to come and know who God is. And maybe there are people here that they've walked away from God, and this is the season that has brought them back to God to say, God, I can't do this without you. Whatever the reason, whatever the season, I'll tell you this, Jesus loves you. God is for you. And he wants to help you in this time. I said last week that we can trust God's hands. We can only trust God's hands if we're in his hands. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to make sure that you, your life, you're in his hands. So while no one else is looking around, I just want to pray. Why don't just everyone in the room close your eyes, even if you're at home, whether you're sharing a couch or not, just everyone close your eyes as I go to pray.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.